Psalm 24, 1 through 10, securing the blessings of a sovereign, holy God. We live in a world where corrupt attitudes, insincerity, godless acts, and irreverence are becoming commonplace. Corrupt attitudes and insincerity abound. Progressives tell us that it is a violation of democracy to allow state legislators and governors elected by voters to decide how to regulate or criminalize abortion. Democracy, in this view, requires such decisions to be made by 9 unelected jurists on the Supreme Court. However, even liberal scholar John Hart Ely in 1973 wrote that the Roe v. Wade decision is not constitutional law and gives almost no sense of an obligation to try to be. And also, liberal Supreme Court Judge Ruth Bader Ginsburg, who was then a lower court judge, wrote in 1985, quote, "The court ventured too far in the change it ordered and presented an incomplete justification for its action," end of quote. Progressives tell us that democracy requires content moderation, that's censorship in plain English, of all communications over prevalent social media platforms like Twitter and Facebook, when actually the most successful purveyors of misinformation have been the progressives themselves. For the better part of 3 years, with the cooperation of Pulitzer Prize-awarded journalists, they advanced misinformation in the form of the Russia collusion hoax, concocted apparently by operatives in the 2016 Hillary Clinton presidential campaign, nurtured by intelligence officials and a duplicitous FBI director, James B. Comey, besides suppressing the Hunter Biden laptop information in 2020 that has since come undone in 2022. Godless acts abound. U.S. authorities announced the discovery of a major drug smuggling tunnel on Mexico's border that ran 1/3 of a mile to Tijuana and was 4 feet in diameter, about 6 stories deep, in order to try to avoid detection. Irreverence is now common. Ken Ham has an article, A Biblical Authority Ministry in the Answers Insider, May 22, 2022 issue, and it stated that many reporters in the mainstream media seem to have a standard paragraph about the Answers in Genesis ministry with its Ark Encounter and Creation Museum, and they read something like, quote, "These are the people who believe in a young earth, reject evolution, believe dinosaurs lived with people, believe that there was a global flood, and reject science," end of quote. The Bible's literal teaching of pure creationism without the use of any evolutionary processes in Genesis 1 and 2, and the worldwide Noahic flood in Genesis 6 through 8, the literal interpretations of both passages being affirmed by Jesus in Matthew 19, 4 to 6, and 24, 33 to 38 actually, are treated as myths, and evolution is true. So the question that we have this morning is, how can we be blessed if corrupt attitudes, insincerity, godless acts, and irreverence abound? The answer is found for us in Psalm 24, and I'd like to read it, and then we'll get into the passage. Psalm 24, it's a psalm of David. "The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell therein. For he has founded it upon the seas and established it upon the floods. Who shall ascend into the hill of the Lord, or who shall stand in his holy place? He that has clean hands and a pure heart, who has not lifted up his soul unto vanity nor sworn deceitfully, he shall receive the blessing from the Lord and righteousness from the God of his salvation. This is the generation of them that seek him, that seek thy face, O Jacob." Selah. "Lift up your heads, O ye gates, and be ye lift up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in." Who is this King of glory? The Lord, strong and mighty, the Lord mighty in battle. "Lift up your heads, O ye gates, even lift them up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in." Who is this King of glory? The Lord of hosts. He is the King of glory. Selah. Referring to Genesis chapter 1, verse 2, and verses 9 and 10, David acknowledged that the earth, its contents, and the people who dwelt on it belonged to the sovereign God of Scripture, for he founded it by separating it from the seas that covered the globe at the beginning of creation. It's interesting how not only the Lord Jesus, but David himself believed in the literal interpretation of Genesis chapters 1 and 2. The setting of this psalm was possibly the returning of the Ark of the Covenant to Jerusalem in 2 Samuel chapter 6, So David rhetorically asked, who could ascend to the holy mount and stand in the holy place of such a sovereign Lord's presence? And in answer, David listed four qualifications that are the opposite of what we noted in our introduction that is common in today's world. He mentioned these in verse 4. First of all, he who has clean hands, that means pure outward deeds, he can fellowship with the sovereign creator. Clean hands, representative of pure deeds. Then he who has a pure heart. Now, a pure heart is a corresponding inward purity. He's the person that can fellowship with the sovereign creator. So we have to be clean on the outside. We have to be clean on the inside. Then see, he who is completely sincere can fellowship with the sovereign creator. And finally, he who is sincere in reverence for what is separate from sin can fellowship with the sovereign creator. That's something that is in tremendous need today, a reverence for God. I've mentioned this a number of times before. You see this church that was built in 1848. You know how tall the ceiling is. Nowadays, they would never build it this high because it wastes on heat, right? So you want to bring it down, especially with oil going at $6 a gallon. But in the old days, they had high ceilings because the goal of our forefathers was for you to feel small when you came into God's house. Because God's big, he's sovereign, we're not. And that's why these steeples went way, way, way up. They represented God and his greatness, and we were supposed to feel small in his presence. Reverence, that's something that we've lost over the centuries. Such people will receive blessing from the Lord and righteousness from the God of his salvation, and such are those who seek and follow in fellowship with the God of Jacob, according to verses 5 and 6. The psalm continued with a fanfare of praise to the Lord as a sovereign creator God, represented in his Ark of the Covenant as it was brought into the city of Jerusalem. So the lesson is those who can fellowship with the sovereign creator God with resulting blessing and righteousness must have pure deeds, inward purity, be completely sincere with God, and have a sincere reverence for what is holy, that is, for what is separate from sin. So an application, and we get to this every Sunday, and I repeat it because it's extremely important. It has to do with the eternal destiny of the soul. May we trust in Christ who died as our atoning sacrifice for sin that we might receive God's gift of eternal life. See, the Bible tells us that all of us have sinned and all of us have come short of the glory of God, and the wages of sin is death. That's eternal separation from God. So we are in desperate need of God's deliverance from sin. God sent his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, who died on the cross in our place to bear the penalty and the punishment of the penalty of our sin. He died, he was buried, he bodily rose again. He ascended to the right hand of the Father, where he currently intercedes for believers. As a result of that work, if at any time any human being makes the commitment to trust in Jesus Christ as his or her personal Savior from sin, that person is saved. He has eternal life. If you haven't made that decision, I would urge you to make it immediately, because you never know how much time you have in this life. And once this life is ended, the decision or lack of decision, either one, is locked in. And so I wouldn't want anybody who is listening to me either in the service this morning or by cell phone or the MP3, I wouldn't want anybody who's listening to me not to accept Christ. You've got to do this so that you might have eternal life. And then you can enter into the blessings that God has for us. Then number two, once we've made the decision to trust in Christ, may we rely on the indwelling Holy Spirit who comes to indwell us when we believe in Christ, according to Romans 8:9, for the power to live righteous lives. That's what Galatians 5:16 and 22 and 23 is about. And perform pure deeds. Maintain inward spiritual purity. Be completely sincere with God and other people, and be sincerely reverent in all the things that are holy before the Lord. Now, in relying on the Holy Spirit of God, we have directions from Scripture in personally overcoming the sins we noted in our sermon introduction as follows. On the issue of knowing what to do about the issue of abortion, since the Supreme Court appears poised to overturn Roe v. Wade that legalized abortion, it's not up to 9 Supreme Court justices, nor to state legislatures, nor to other human entities, to decide what is right and wrong in regards to abortion, but up to the sovereign creator God of human life. It's amazing to me how man, whether they're on the Supreme Court or whether in state legislators or whatnot, decide what is right and wrong in regards to the issue of abortion. God is the one who creates human life. He creates that human life in the womb of a woman. And God is the one who makes the determination as to whether that's a person or not. God declared in Genesis 9, 5, and 6 that the murder of a human being requires the death penalty, and Exodus 21, verses 22 to 23 reveals that the murder of a fetus at any trimester is the murder of a human being because it requires the death penalty of the one who takes the fetus's life. If two men are struggling and one of the men accidentally happens to hit a pregnant woman and she therefore loses her baby and the baby dies, it's the man's life, even if it was accidental, because God wanted Israel to recognize that he was trying to protect the life of that infant, that fetus that was in the womb. And everybody, including every man and every woman around that pregnant woman, is supposed to be very protective of her for the sake of protecting that little infant who is vulnerable. So you can imagine how angry God gets at abortion. So capital punishment, incidentally, is still to be enforced today according to Romans chapter 13, 1 to 4. The king does not bear the sword in vain, the Bible says, and the sword is a lethal weapon. So I know I am not politically correct here, and I'm not trying to be at all. Capital punishment is what the Bible teaches, and the Bible is completely opposed to abortion at any trimester. Now, on the issue of deciding what to do about censorship, we are not trying not to rely on the media or a government agency to screen our alleged misinformation, because 2 Timothy 3:13 predicted that men would go from bad to worse in the latter era of church history, deceiving and being deceived. So you can't trust anything that is of man. Romans chapter 3, verse 4 claims that every person has broken his word. Rather, God calls us to stick with what God has let us learn to be as true in the past, to be convinced was true in the past, recalling the quality people who taught us those truths, and above all, to heed Scripture that permanently equips us to perform every good work in this life until Christ returns. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 14 and 17. This Bible that I'm holding, I'm so grateful for the fact that I can trust it. It's absolutely perfectly true. It's Scripture, and we need to hold on to that as such. On the issue of godless acts and the smuggling of illegal drugs, Scripture teaches that instead of being controlled by drugs and alcohol wherein is excess, to be instead controlled by the indwelling Holy Spirit, Ephesians 5:18. Many people are involved in substance abuse as an escape from life's trials when all they need is salvation by faith in the Lord Jesus, where the Holy Spirit comes to indwell and equip them to live spiritually powerful lives, and then they can rely on the Holy Spirit to avoid using drugs and alcohol. The very existence of powerful drug cartels with elaborate smuggling tunnels between Mexico and the United States is the product of many people in our country not knowing Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, and or as believers in Christ, they're not relying on the indwelling Holy Spirit. If you could get every single American to believe in Christ as his Savior and then to rely on the Holy Spirit, there wouldn't be drug cartels trying to smuggle anything in, because the demand would dry up, completely dry up. And that's the easiest, that it doesn't cost a single penny for that to occur, right? It's the Holy Spirit controlling heart, the people. That's what we need. Now, on the issue of irreverence for the Bible's teaching on creation and the Noahic flood, the literal interpretation of Genesis 1 and 2 in the Bible states that God created the universe by pure creation within one solar week, and also that we did have a solar flood, that we did have a literal worldwide flood. Now, it's valuable to use illustrations from science that creationists allegedly reject to support creationism. One comes from the article Galactic Confusion in the Answers magazine, July-September 2021, as follows, quote, astronomers believe that the galaxy ALESS 073.1 to be young because this galaxy is very far away, 12.5 billion light years, which is thought to correspond to 12.5 billion years in the past. Since the Big Bang supposedly happened a billion years earlier than that, this galaxy is interpreted as being very young. Yet ALESS 0731 appears mature much sooner than the billions of years evolutionists have expected. We were stunned to see this gas rotating in a similar way to more mature galaxies, says astronomer Federico Lelli. The main message is that galaxies can form extremely fast. Biblical creationists aren't surprised to find evidence of a complete mature young universe. The Bible reveals the true history of the world. God created the universe, including the galaxies, only a few thousand years ago, not billions. Another illustration comes from the article in Extraordinary Discovery, as follows. An international team of scientists recently discovered a fossilized nest in the Nanxiang Formation of Ganshu in South China of a medium-sized adult oviraptor. Crouching over two dozen eggs, at least seven of the eggs contained embryos and were on the brink of hatching before they were fossilized. This discovery is a great example of rapid fossilization, evidence for a sudden world catastrophe, the flood. In other words, this bird was caught in the position of trying to protect the eggs from something that catastrophic was going on, and she was buried instantly and then fossilized. That doesn't happen over millions of years. You know, that happened very, very quickly, and that means that something very catastrophic and very big took over this situation, the entire nest as well. A third illustration is from the article, The Appendix is Not an Evolutionary Leftover, in the January-March 2022 issue of Answers. For decades, scientists considered the appendix useless. In fact, Charles Darwin claimed that the appendix was a rudimentary, functionless structure, even dangerous. But French researchers at INSERM and the Muséum National d'Histoire Naturelle, whatever, are now claiming that the appendix is associated with increased longevity. The first demonstration of a link between the appendix and life expectancy. Researchers discovered that the appendix reduces mortality from infectious diarrhea and encourages healthy bacterial growth in the host. So there's a purpose for the appendix. Darwin was mistaken. So may we trust in Christ, who died as our atoning sacrifice for sin, that we might receive God's gift of eternal life, and may we rely on the Holy Spirit to perform pure deeds, maintain inward spiritual purity, be fully sincere with God and others, and be sincerely reverent in all holy things before the Lord for his blessing. Let's pray. Father, thank you for telling us about what it takes to fellowship with a holy God. It takes reverence, it takes pure hands, it takes pure heart, it takes absolute sincerity. We have to come before one who knows all about us and who loves us with an infinite love and who at the same time is infinitely demanding. And we can only find rest and peace in a relationship with you through our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. So I would ask, Father, that if there are any people in our service this morning or who may be listening to us on the recorded messages or the cell phone who as yet have not made that decision to trust in Christ, that they would make that decision immediately, that they might have eternal life and a relationship with you. We'd ask also, Father, that as believers we would rely on the Spirit of God, that we might have sincere hearts, that we might have reverence for you, and that we would have clean hands and pure hearts, so that we might enjoy fellowship with the greatest being in the existence of the universe, and that is yourself. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.